Okay, if you have your Bibles with you, we're going to turn now to Luke chapter 11, and we're going to read verses 9 through 13. We've been doing a series on Mark. We've been working way through Mark over the last wee while, and we're going to take a wee break and do something different for the next 4 weeks. So for the next 4 weeks, we're going to focus on spiritual gifts, okay? So that's what we're going to think about, spiritual gifts. And I think that I have to say, I always love coming to church, and I loved coming to church for a variety of reasons. But one of the reasons I love coming to church are the testimonies. It's just incredible. I always think it's incredible, you know. And it's always one of those horrible moments where I say, and now people are going to come and share what God's been doing with them, and I just think, oh man, is it one of these days everybody's just going to sit there and go, nah, God's not done anything this week. I don't know. But every week, you know, every week we stop, and every week we ask, and every week, you know, we hear different stories, and every week they are significant things. I just think it's amazing what God can do. And actually, in the midst of all of that, and in the midst of the service, you've already seen a whole variety of different spiritual gifts being exercised, and we love that. We just think that's amazing that God would do that. And so you might think, why are you taking the time to go back and talk about spiritual gifts again? Surely this is a church that already knows about spiritual gifts. Well, I would sort of say the reason for doing this is actually a number of things. First of all, we haven't taught on spiritual gifts in the church we reckon 12 years. So we think that probably it's about time for us to go back and just touch base with what we think are actually quite important aspects of the teaching in the scripture for us. That's the first thing. The second thing is because not everybody has heard it, and that's partly why we're going back. The third thing is that actually it is deliberately intended that over the next 3 weeks, we are going to work hard. Ben and I are teaching on it, and we are going to work hard over these next 4 weeks to give you as much as we can, a boot up the backside for every single one of you, and say, if you are at beginner level, you should be moving to intermediate. If you're at an intermediate, you should be moving to whatever the next one above that is. If you're there, you should be moving beyond that. In other words, that actually we need to reactivate a growing culture, a kind of maturing process within the gifts within the church. And so for those of you who have already experienced teaching on the gifts of the Spirit, fine, that's great. What we want to say to you is, what is God saying to you through this time about moving into maturity, about leaving behind the things of the beginnings of gifts, and actually saying to you, it is now time for you to move in maturity in these things. So actually, that's part of the reason why we're having a go, okay? And the last reason that we're having a go is actually, I think, probably the more important and the most important one of all, and that is that actually there is a huge calling upon us to minister in a variety of different ways into the calling and destiny that God has given to us as a church here in Whiteinch. Each church that you go to has its own distinct call of God. God does different things in different churches. If you don't believe that, just read the New Testament. Read the letters to the different churches. Read the letters, for example, if you want to make it nice and easy, the letters that were written to the churches in the beginning of Revelation. So 7 churches, 7 letters, 7 different characteristics, 7 different callings. God calls each church to different and distinct things. And God has called us as a church to different and distinct things. And it's interesting, again, we talked about banners earlier. This is a banner which we put up week by week. I don't know if you've ever really kind of paid attention to it and read what it actually says. Obviously, it has John 3:16 on it, which is the promise of God for us that if we respond to him, we will come to faith through Jesus. But actually, the bit at the bottom is a piece which actually was, at the very beginning of the church, we had an incredible experience, which was of us almost a birthing experience. And as we did that, we felt that God was sort of saying, you need to name the church. And we felt that this is what he said, Whiteinch Church of Scotland is to be a child of the promise. And I believe that that's, you know, a big part of that is the promise that we have here, which is the one of salvation through Jesus. Child of miracles, child of healing, and a child of revival. And we put it up there, and we put it out week by week. And we do so because we want to remind ourselves of what God said to us. We want to remind ourselves of the call of God on our life collectively as a church. We want to say, we believe that actually this is what we are going to be. We believe that we are going to see the promises fulfilled and people saved. We're going to see healings. We're going to see miracles. We're going to see revival. Why? Because we believe that God has said that to us. And not only has he said it at the beginning, but he actually said it. He said it a number of different times. And I've got with me here, many of you know about the Glasgow Prophetic Centre. And they came to us and they actually spent some time with us, actually 3 years ago now, in June of 2010. And what they did was they actually brought a corporate word. And, that's available for you if you want to have a look at the whole thing. But it's really a fascinating kind of prophetic, you know, God speaking to us through the prophets about what the church is meant to be. And it speaks about a variety of different things, and I'm not going to read it all, but one of the things it talks about is, you know, that we are a church which is called to reach the nations. You know, very interesting. You know, Debbie and Paul getting ready to be missionaries. Overseas missionaries, I should say, as opposed to missionaries at home, which they've been for these last, well, which they are. A church which is to reach the nations. You know, there is a huge heritage in the Scottish church culture, which is actually about us about our call to the nations. You know, we are a nation that is called to the nations. And actually, one of the things that God is restoring to the church at this time, not only are the things of the Spirit, not only are the things of miracles and all the rest of it, but actually our calling to go back out into the nations, our calling to leave our home, our families and everything else, to go for the sake of the Lord and for the sake of the lost to those who have not heard and who do not know Jesus yet. There is a mobilization that is happening within the church in Scotland, even as we speak, even now, even at this time. And as a church, we want to be at the forefront of that. We believe that that's part of what God is calling us to. And so we want to encourage you to continue to hold on to that call, to hold on to that belief. But here's the rest. I'll read actually a section from a section that Emma Stark prophesied. When I asked the Father what the purpose of your church was, I heard him say, "This is a supernatural house for the nations. There is a particular gifting given to you for healing. You're like one of the trees in Revelation whose leaves are for the healing of the nations. Some of you are carrying this gift in such a dense form that I see you walking past people just as the Apostle Peter did, and then being made well by your shadow. I especially see this in the areas of addiction. All of you will need to do this to be in the vicinity of a person struggling with addiction, and they will be set free. There is a deep well, a deep healing well, that is under your feet. Some of you know that it's there. The watcher demons also know that it's there, and there's contention to see the lid prized off the well and healing spring forth. So there is a calling to become consistent and persistent diggers. Do not easily give up. Do not allow yourself to easily be discouraged. For what you are sitting on will change not just individual lives, but has the capacity to alter nations. There is a clarion call issued from heaven for you to rally again together with one voice, one heart, one mind, one intention, and that is to dig the supernatural and healing well that you are guardians and stewards of. The caution that comes from this is that you have been too easily dispersed, too easily split up into myriad of camps, actioning different projects and activities. The promise of heaven is that as you pull on the rope together as one company, the rope that holds the lid of the well in place, you will allow for a supernatural explosion in your midst. The rope is long and there is a place for every single one of you. None of you is disqualified. It is a calling for all in Whitehenge, Church of Scotland, to see the supernatural made manifest." So, there is a calling upon us, which actually we've only begun to see the beginning of. We've only seen the beginning of people healed. We've only begun to see the beginning of people transformed. We've only begun to see the beginning of people set free from addictions. We've only begun to see the smallest edge of what it is that God has for us. And we have prayed, and we have, and I remember, prophetically gathering together and pulling the rope and doing all that. I remember doing that. And it's not that that's not done, but I want to say that there is something about pressing in further for that and pressing in further together. Why speak about spiritual gifts? Spiritual gifts are one of the key ways that we activate faith to take our part in what it is that God is calling us to. That is why, once again, we come back to spiritual gifts. That's why, once again, we're saying it is time for us to refocus our energies on thinking about what is our part, what is it that God is calling us to in this process of seeing these amazing things happening. All right? And so as we speak over these next few weeks, we're going to speak just about today. I just want to give a quick introduction to spiritual gifts in the context of us taking hold together of the thing that God is calling us to. So the first thing to say about spiritual gifts is that all Christians have spiritual gifts. And we know that because in 1 Peter 4, verse 10, it says, "Each of you should use whatever gift you have received to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms." So we know that God gives spiritual gifts, and we know that he gives them to each one of us. And what God's calling us to is actually that we would use them. So let's just read together from that passage in Luke chapter 11, verses 9 to 13, about the fact that God will give us these gifts if we ask him. Says this, "So I say to you, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds. And to him who knocks, the door will be open. Which of you fathers, if your son asks for a fish, will give him a snake instead? Or if he asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him?" One of the first things that we need to know is, yes, God gives gifts to each one of us who are his children. But the thing is, we need to ask. We need to activate our faith. We need to not be passive, just watching what other people are doing and listening to what they're sort of saying and sort of saying, "Ooh, look at that one, they can prophesy. Look at this one, they can pray for healing. And look at that one, they can intercede. And this one can preach, and that one can teach, and this one can do the other thing." Ooh, and become intimidated, actually, and almost stand back and sort of say, "Well, I can't be like them, so I can't do it." God says, no, he's asking you to press in. He's asking you to put your weight behind this word and activate your faith and say, "If you ask, I'll give it. If you knock, I'll open. If you come to me and ask me and seek me, you'll find me. I will give you these things. I am a good father that wants to give the Holy Spirit to you." And we need to press in for that. We need to activate our faith in these ways. So we do these things because of the fact that that we believe that God is calling us to this great destiny, this great calling. So what are spiritual gifts then? A spiritual gift, Peter Wagner has defined, as a special ability or quality given by the Holy Spirit to every member of the body of Christ according to God's grace for use both within and outwith the context of the church. So it is a spiritual gift or quality. It's given by the Holy Spirit. It's for every member. It is for us together as the body of Christ to use according to God's grace, according to the gift that he's given to us, both within and outwith the church context. The spiritual gifts that we are given, yes, you've seen some of them here today, but actually they're not just for here. They are actually often activated within the church so that when we go, we would be able to use them for those who do not know about Jesus yet. Okay? Again, not difficult for us to understand. Spiritual gifts, what are they for? Well, first of all, they are to be discovered and they're to be developed. We start small and then we move forward in these things. Okay? So you might sort of, as I say, look at other folks and sort of say, why, you know, how is it that they're able to, you know, how is it that they're able to pray for 6 hours and, you know, and I can't pray for 2 minutes, you know? Why is that happening? And we become discouraged because we see others who are further on the track from us. But God has spoken to us, perhaps, and said to, I want you to be an intercessor. I want you to be someone who prays. And actually, you know, and therefore, I want you to learn how to do that, to step into these things. And the answer to that is little by little, step by step. We grow in these things. We grow in the different gifts that God has given to us. I remember very clearly, you know, when we began to kind of move in the gift of prophecy, I remember that actually almost every single time, you could guarantee that somebody would come up and sort of say, you know, I have a message for you. And what would the message be? It would be, God loves you. That's the message. That would be the message that we would get. That would be the kind of the level of prophetic insight that we had. That actually we got a message that God said, you know, I really want you to know that God loves you. That's actually the message that he has for you today. Now, do you know the amazing thing about that? Every time it was said, it was true. Every time it was received by the person, they received the life of God and the life of the Spirit in them. So I'm not mocking that, I'm not knocking that. But what I am saying is that actually over the years we have now seen a growth in the prophetic, so that actually people are now getting words of knowledge where they begin to understand this, what the scriptures describe as the secrets of men's hearts without them knowing them. You know, God revealing them to directly. And as they begin to share these things in an appropriate way, they're beginning to help people to grow in the gift that they have and then beginning to see those people who receive the ministry be blessed by those things. Sometimes, you know, I remember we moved from my messages, God loves you, to, you know, I got a picture. Or, you know, beyond that, some of us actually kind of moved to the stage of actually having full words that we actually had. And then, again, beyond that, you know, we begin to actually kind of move into the place where we really are forth-telling. We're beginning to tell forth what God is going to do through that person. You know, so we grow in these things. It takes a while, but we grow in these things, and there's a process. And again, I want to encourage you, wherever you are on the steps and wherever you are in the stages of the process that God has for you in these things, I want to encourage you that God is saying, if we are going to fulfill the call that is upon us, if we're going to do the things that he's said, then actually each one of us needs to take another step into the call that God has for us. And for some of us, that means that actually it's a call to reactivate gifts which we have quietly just let slip and ignored for the last wee while. You know, God is actually calling us, for some of us who, you know, he's calling on us to be more active in healing, for others in evangelism, for others in prophecy, for others in worship, for others in acts of service. Whatever it is that God's called you to, it's not that God will do everything with everyone. It's actually that he wants to do specific things with you. All right. Right. I've just spotted the time. I'm going to accelerate away. Okay. So what are they for? They're for us to discover and to develop. They're for us to be fruitful. You know, that God actually wants us to be fruitful in our gift. They also differentiate us and they make us unique. That's what I'm sort of saying to you. And they help us because they actually allow us to grow in a relationship with God. What spiritual gifts are not, they're not natural talents. They're not the natural talents that we have necessarily in terms of things like, you know, sort of teaching or whatever. You know, if you happen to be a teacher by profession, does that mean that you have the spiritual gift of teaching? Not necessarily. They're not necessarily that kind of gift. They're not general responsibilities either. Everybody is called to witness, okay? But not everybody has the gift of an evangelist. So again, we can differentiate and we can talk about more of these things later. They're not about the fruit of the Spirit. They're not about joy, peace, holiness, and so on. These are fruits of the Spirit rather than necessarily gifts of the Spirit. And again, we can come back to these. And they're not, and this is really important, they're not badges of honor. They're not badges of honor or of superiority. Just because somebody is able to prophesy, it doesn't mean necessarily they're the greatest Christian person that you know. It's not about that. We, you know, God gives these gifts and we need to minister them in humility. Why is it important for us to know our gifts? First of all, it's important because it's a command of God. It actually says in 1 Corinthians 12, verse 1, do not be ignorant of these things, brothers, it says. Do not be ignorant And then he goes on, and all through chapter 12 of 1 Corinthians, Paul then talks about the spiritual gifts. And I think that one of the things that we can do, especially in a church where it's assumed that we actually move in the gifts of the Spirit, is that we can forget about these things. And we can be ignorant about these things, where we don't actually kind of take the time to think and pray and talk and grow in the things that God's calling us to. We are also accountable for the gifts that God's given us. Matthew 25, the story of the talents. Jesus gives us gifts to use. Not that we would bury them in the ground and ignore them. He gives us gifts to use, and he will keep us to account for the use of the gifts. So it's important for us to step forward in what it is. It's important for us also to know that he gives us these things because he wants to empower us, to enable us to do the things that he wants us to do. And because actually, if we, and this is the part that I want to kind of finish with, if we don't do our part, then the rest of the body doesn't work properly. One of the classic images that talks about the body of Christ, and in particular the gifts, is the one of the body of Christ. Each one, you know, arms and legs and ears and all the rest of it, all needing each other, all working together, all being required for a healthy, balanced body. And again, as we press forward into these things, I want to just say that that's actually something which is absolutely essential for us as we think about the way forward. There are a number of barriers, which I'm not going to talk about just now. We'll come back to that next week. We'll talk about barriers next week. But what I do want to say in finishing is this: God really has spoken to us, I think. He has spoken to us about the things that we're called to be, the kind of people that we're called to be, the kind of church that we're called to be. And the only way for that to happen is for each one of us to step forward and to take our part in the thing. And so today, I want to encourage you to respond to what God is saying to you. Some of us, it is a call to press forward again. You know, some of us have been kind of like holding back, and actually, it's time for us to put our weight back on and to press forward again. Some of us, it's about just simply that we are called to play our part, that actually there are things that God has said to us. And listen, if God hasn't said anything to you about what you're supposed to do, then be at peace, you know. It's not about guilting anyone into doing anything at all. It's about what has God said, and are you being obedient to it? And if you're being obedient to what God's saying, then great. But I want to encourage you, if God has spoken to you and as yet you're not pressing into that, I want to encourage you to press forward into that. And the last thing is this, that I want to call us all into maturity, into our gifting. There is always more for us. And actually, when we want to grow in the things of God, we need to actively and diligently pursue these things. We need to read books, we need to go to conferences, we need to listen to tapes, we need to hang out with people who are further on in the walk than we are in these particular areas. All of us can grow in these things. And actually, for us to be able to do what seems, I have to say at times, when I hear the words, the prophetic words spoken over us as a church, they are huge. And we are not able to do them. We'll never be able to do them. We'll only ever be able to do them because God works miraculously through us to do them. So I want to encourage you to step forward into that and actually to say, okay, these next few weeks, I'm really going to press forward and grow in the things that God has called me to, because I want to be part of what it is God's going to do here. Let's be quiet now. Let's just pray. So Father, we ask that you would take your word and that you would apply it to our heart. What is it that you're saying to us today, we pray? Father, we ask that you give us the grace to be obedient to the word that you've spoken to our hearts. Give us the strength, Lord, to press forward into everything that you have for us. We ask that you'd help us to do this now. In Jesus' name. Amen. The band are going to just come up now, and we're going to sing just one last song before we finish. While we're doing that, we're going to pass around the offering baskets. If